And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Big Football Show, the Athletic's daily Big Ten football podcast. This is Bill Landis, cover Ohio State, joined by Audrey Snyder, our Penn State writer. One of our seasons is over, and it feels like one of ours is kind of just beginning.
Must be difficult, Bill.
Yes, living a hard life over here, possibly getting to go to New Orleans. We'll see. Ohio State is playing Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. We'll talk about that. Indiana got screwed over by the playoff committee. We'll maybe yell about that a little bit too and get into some other things as it pertains to the Big Ten East. But Audrey, what's it like to have your football season over?
Well, you know, Bill, it takes me back to the much more complex days of Penn State's bowl bans. And when, you know, the season ended and you knew it was over and you could make plans for Christmas and New Year's. But, of course, with the pandemic, don't really have any plans, won't have any plans for New Year's for sure. But, Penn State passed up an opportunity on a bowl game and, Bill, by doing so. And, of course, a lot of other Big Tens did the same thing and said, hey, we're not going to do this. But the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix that was slated for December 26th, a bowl game that many people at Penn State projected to go to, is now no longer happening. So your bowl chaos from the Nittany Lions.
By skipping the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Penn State guaranteed itself its first losing season since when?
2004.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that was kind of the one thing that, you know, fans, reporters, we all kept saying, like, is this really going to be such a point of pride that you're going to try to fly these kids across the country, you know, on Christmas or the day before Christmas, to try and get back to 500 in a season that no matter how it ends, it's still going to be remembered as the year you tried to play football in a pandemic. Bill, it just wasn't worth it. And the way Penn State came to the decision, they had the leadership council and the captains. They met actually while James Franklin was talking to us post-game Saturday night. Penn State's players were deciding what they wanted to do. Franklin then meets with the team, and they said, hey, as a group, we're not going to do this. So we knew by about 11:30 p.m. Saturday night. So I, like everyone else, just got to watch the bowl selection shows and all of that and argue with everyone and talk about expanding the playoff and all those fun topics that, you know, get to be part of your world here for the next, at least the foreseeable future.
The good thing about where I'm at and where Ohio State's at is that I'll let everyone yell about the playoff structure and how it needs to be changed and how Ohio State should or should not have gotten in. That's great. Everyone can yell about that. I'm just going to cover Ohio State in the playoff and worry about that game and not scream on Twitter about who should be in and who shouldn't be in and how things should change. So I'm thankful for that. I want to circle back, I guess, later in this episode about the end of Penn State season because I think it's a little interesting. But obviously, there's more
bigger
pressing
fish
things
to fry here today.
More pressing things in the Big Ten happening. Just quickly for a refresher for anybody who doesn't know, 5 Big Ten teams are playing in bowl games. Ohio State obviously is in the playoff in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson. Northwestern is playing Auburn in the Citrus Bowl. Indiana, who we will talk about, is playing Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl. Iowa is playing Missouri in the Music City Bowl. Maybe. They have some COVID things going on at Iowa at the moment. And Wisconsin is playing Wake Forest in the heralded Duke's Mayo Bowl. Can't wait to watch Wisconsin play in a bowl named after mayonnaise. But let's start with the playoff. Let's start with the playoff game. Ohio State, Clemson. And let's start here. I was there. I covered that game in Indianapolis when Ohio State played Northwestern. Wrote about it. Go to The Athletic. You can read about it. Subscribe. What did you make of how Ohio State performed against Northwestern? And I don't know, like, How does that sort of frame how you're viewing not the potential, but the matchup that's coming with Ohio State and Clemson? Because I think there are a lot of folks here in Columbus who saw that game, which was, if not Ohio State's worst performance of the season, its second worst performance of the season, and have little to no hope that they can go into the playoff now and beat Clemson.
Yeah, it was not as sharp as one would hope for Ohio State for the Big Ten moving forward. Bill, watching that, and you know, it was one of those rarities because I didn't go to Penn State's home game across town. I covered it remotely, so I got to see the entire Ohio State game, which like isn't something I get to say all year, watching a game live and watching people freak out online at the same time. Being able to see that, you're watching Justin Fields and I'm like, okay, at some point, like, he's going to get going. He's going to get hot. This thing's going to get running. You did see Julian Fleming, a guy that we know a lot about as the former top player in Pennsylvania, but you saw Fleming get going. I wonder too, with the COVID issues and, you know, you're shorthanded at a couple spots. Certainly that's a factor. I get it. That's going to impact what you want to do. I mean, Chris Olave is a monster. He's really, really good at what he does. Yeah, this was, to me, I just wanted to see them keep running the ball, which wasn't what I expected to say when the game starts, if that made any sense. I mean, I said on here last week, I didn't think that that was going to even be a very close game. So credit to Northwestern for proving me wrong. And I think you're wrong too, Bill, because I think we were along the same vein with that, I think.
Yeah, I thought Ohio State was going to win fairly comfortably, I think it was a 20.5 point spread at one point after the player losses for Ohio State were announced. I think that spread might have dropped down to like 18 or 16 or something like that. Ohio State was without three starters: Chris Olave, who you mentioned, Baron Browning, one of its starting linebackers, and most importantly, Drew Chrisman, its punter. And it's a second straight game that Ohio State's had to play shorthanded. We were without 14 scholarship players, three starters, a couple other guys who are important players. Actually, they were without four starters. Another guy, Marcus Hooker, the free safety, didn't play due to injury. But they were depleted because of injury and COVID issues and did not play their best game. I, like you, was watching it thinking like, okay, this is a sluggish start. Eventually, Justin Fields is going to turn it on and this offense is going to explode and they're going to run away with this game. And then that really never happened over the course of the first half. And then by the time we reached the third quarter, everyone in the press box, everyone on Twitter, everyone watching the game was just saying, "Dear Ryan Day, for the love of God, can you please just run the ball?" Because Trey Sermon, transfer running back from University of Oklahoma, broke Eddie George's single game rushing record in program history. Like, a guy who showed up here and after his first few games, I don't think people were particularly high on. Ryan Day himself said, like, we didn't know what was going on with Trey through the first four games, and we were kind of wondering what was going on with him. We didn't know him very much, and I think they were a little worried that they weren't going to have the kind of guy they thought they were getting when he came over from Oklahoma. And then now we get to the Big Ten Championship, and that guy is erasing Eddie George's name from the top of the record books for single-game rushing yardage. He had 331 yards and two touchdowns against Northwestern on 29 carries, and they could have given him the ball 40 times, and I think he would have ran for 500 yards because that's what was there for Ohio State basically the entire day.
Yeah, I mean, and that to me, Bill's, well, first of all, a happy belated birthday. I wanted to get that in there.
Thank you.
You celebrated your birthday by covering a Big Ten title game.
It's the most memorable birthday I've ever had.
Did you get to St. Elmo's? Or do they do like curbside delivery these days?
Hell no. I stayed in my hotel room and I ate chicken fingers.
Wow. Living the life, man.
That's right.
But yeah, to me, it was really bizarre. I mean, the way Ohio State played, I expected a lot more. I expected this offense was going to be lights out. And I know you've made this point before on this very show and in your stories on The Athletic. And in your companion piece with Grace Rayner, our Clemson beat writer, I read that earlier this week, Bill, as a
thanks.
Very loyal reader of The Athletic.
That.
You made the point there too, which I think is a good one. By only playing six games, what do we really know about this Ohio State team? Certainly you can see things, but had they gotten all nine games in, we definitely would have known more about them and their strengths and their weaknesses and some questions about this defense. But I don't know, I guess, where do you stand on the six game aspect of it? Because to me, I say, okay, yes, you're healthier. That makes sense. That's a benefit for sure. But the downside, and I think we saw that against Northwestern too, is like you lost all of that time. You know, you can't substitute game experience, game reps. I don't care how many times this group has been in big moments, because seemingly they're always in them. But that stuff to me, that really matters, you know, and I just I don't think there's a substitute for that.
No, I don't think so either. And I wrote a story basically saying as much early last week, and got some crap from people who said I was like making excuses for Ohio State. And that wasn't what I was trying
you
to
apologist,
do.
Bill Landis.
Yes, me.
Wow.
Who
was it? Ari accusing you of that?
It might have been one of his burner accounts, perhaps.
Probably.
I like the idea that they have less wear and tear is very real. Like I'm not trying to say that's not true. It's very true, and I think anyone who says that is being honest. Like Clemson has a couple of receivers I think who are out right now. I don't know if they're going to play in the Sugar Bowl or not. But Ohio State does not have much in the way of like key injuries. They have guys who are out for COVID reasons, but in terms of wear and tear and injury stuff. They've been pretty healthy in that regard. They were missing Marcus Hooker, the safety, last week. That's kind of it, unless I'm forgetting something. Master Teague went down, their running back, in the Northwestern game, but then Trey Sermon ran for 331 yards, so it didn't matter much. But I do think that the idea that Ohio State has not had a ton of time to like answer questions about itself matters. They played Indiana and they gave up 500 passing yards. And then coming out of that, it was all about, well, how are you going to change the personnel in the secondary? How might you change things schematically? Because obviously if you reach your goals, you're going to be playing teams that are better than Indiana and can throw the ball in a similar, if not more dangerous way. And it doesn't look like you're built at all to stop that. And I think there was an anticipation that they were going to make some personnel changes and make some scheme changes. They played two games since then. And neither one of the teams they played are particularly strong throwing teams. I really wish they could have played Maryland. I think playing Maryland would have told us at least a little more, gave us a little more information. So, like, I don't know if that question's been answered, because Michigan State and Northwestern aren't going to provide them. Michigan or Northwestern hit a couple of chunk pass plays, but that was due to like a lot of soft coverage from Ohio State. It wasn't quite in the same way that Indiana was doing it. So it's like, I don't know what they are on the back end of their defense, and they're about to go play Trevor Lawrence in the playoff semifinal. So that's out there. Justin Fields struggled with pressure against Indiana, and then he struggled against Northwestern, I think, for different reasons, because Northwestern actually didn't blitz him a ton, but Justin still had a bad game. But Brent Venables is going to come after him all game in the Sugar Bowl. And I don't know like what Justin has improved or picked up on from when he struggled so much against Indiana. And I guess the one good thing is we've been waiting for their running game to round into form, and it's gone over 300 yards the last three games. It does seem like that's building up a little bit, but all the other questions about the team I think are still very real and outstanding, and we won't know what they are until they get on the field against the Clemson team that I don't know might be the best team in the country. I think Alabama Clemson certainly has the ability to be that, and it's like, I don't know. I'd feel a little uneasy if I was an Ohio State fan going into that game, because I don't know how you could be certain about anything with this team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And Bill, what's the vibe? I mean, as good as a vibe as you can get on Zoom this year, because that's just where we're at. The vibe with Ohio State and finally getting Clemson and getting that shot at revenge. When I was watching the show yesterday on ESPN, they had mentioned, again, you got a lot of airtime to fill on these shows, so I get it. But they had mentioned that Justin Fields was like changing a flat tire in the parking lot or something. Mm-hmm. One, do you know anything about the status of a flat tire and if he can change it himself? Because NFL talent evaluators need to know that. And two, when you kind of look at all of this, like, how do they view getting this, you know, getting Clemson again? Like, I guess what's the anticipation level, the excitement level to get a shot like that?
Justin Fields sprained his thumb on his throwing hand against Northwestern and apparently was able to change a tire despite that. So I think that was good news for Ohio State.
Shows a lot of intangibles. He's going to skyrocket on those draft boards now.
That's right. You got to play through the adversity. Ohio State had, like, this is what they wanted. They came into the year, they wanted to play because they thought they were good enough to win a national championship, and I think they might be. But they really wanted another crack at Clemson for so many reasons. Like and I guess it's all sort of under the umbrella of they thought they should have won that game last year. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and you replay all the things that happened, there's a lot to back that up. They had three trips to the red zone where they didn't score touchdowns. They had a touchdown taken off the board by a poor officiating replay decision. They lost Sean Wade to a targeting penalty. J.K. Dobbins hurt his ankle and was like ineffective in the second mm-hmm. half of that game. Justin Fields, who had injured his knee against Penn State last year, played the last three games of the year on a bad knee and wasn't quite himself in terms of mobility. So there were a lot of things working against Ohio State. And then you still go back to that game and they had the ball in their hands with a chance to win it late. And then Justin Fields throws a pick to Chris Olave. And like that's framed their entire mindset for this season. So it's been a weird road to get there. But in some way, it feels like kind of right, I think, that Ohio State's going to get to play Clemson. It just feels like we were always heading toward this kind of inevitably anyway. And now it's happening. And it's definitely what Ohio State wanted. I don't know if Clemson thinks about Ohio State in the same exact terms, but I know Clemson is eager to get back to the championship after losing to LSU last year. But Ohio State, I think, specifically had its sights set on getting another crack at Clemson, and now they're going to get it.
And I guess, too, you know, you worry about ebbs and flows with, you know, 18 to 22-year-old players especially, then you have to wonder, Bill, if they should be able to get past Clemson. Let me just jump ahead 50 steps right here. But then, like you said, this is a moment that they've waited so long for that they've wanted. Then you worry about potentially an emotional letdown should they get to that next week, right? And sometimes you see teams, they get so worked up about one opponent, then they get to the next game and fizzle. And that's kind of, you know, you look at the playoff as a whole. This has always been, I grew up, you know this, but I'm sure listeners probably don't, but I grew up watching the NFL. I love the NFL. I've watched way, way, way more NFL football in my life than college. And to me, as a kid growing up, it was always so weird that you're like, wait, what do you mean? Like, this is the best team and it's determined by the BCS? Like, why does that make sense? And now you're seeing people with the playoff system kind of come around to the thought process of maybe, you know, after seeing what happened on a Sunday, maybe it's time to expand. Maybe it's time to make the field a little bit different, because it continues to be your same programs over and over who get these matchups. And I just don't see how this is great for the sport. I mean, it can't be. To me, it's just like, oh, well, here you go again. Up, it's Alabama, it's Clemson, it's Ohio State, and we'll sprinkle in Notre Dame this year. Like, for me, it's just, I love the NFL playoff format. I always have. I always will. And to me, you know, I love that there are a million bowl games, but also it's like you look at some of these other teams and you look at an Indiana and it's like, what are we doing here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, to me, Bill, I don't know. I just take issue with it, and I always have.
Yeah, I was happy when it moved to four. I myself am eager to see it expanded. I don't know if what happened this year, because when you talk about at least playoff inclusion, you're talking about like, well, Cincinnati didn't get a crack or Coastal Carolina didn't get a crack. And like, I don't know if that happening is enough to sway change in the structure of the playoff. Right. Like if for some reason there was a really good team from the SEC that didn't get in, I think that would help. Or maybe like if USC had been an undefeated Pac-12 champion and had somehow been ranked like outside the top 10 or like at the back end of the top 10. Maybe the Pac-12 can try to throw its weight around a little bit, because that, like, it has to start. Andy Staples wrote this column. I think it has to start with the power leagues. It can't.
Yes.
The G5 leagues aren't going to punch up and get them to change the playoff. It's just not going to happen. The powers that be, the Power Five, have to enact that kind of change. And I don't know if they have much motivation to do that now, based off how this went. But that's one thing. That's like expanding the playoff itself. Teams that are eligible to play for a national championship. But there's obviously also an issue, too, with how they're picking these teams. I guess just ranking them in general, but then picking who gets to play in these New Year's Six bowls, because the idea that Indiana at 6-1 with its only loss by a touchdown to Ohio State, a team that the committee thinks is in the playoff, somehow isn't playing in a New Year's Six bowl while three-loss Iowa State is absurd to me. Like, Indiana has a major, major gripe about this.
Oh, yeah, and they were, by the sounds of it last night, it sounded like they were certainly making it, and rightfully so. I like the point that you made about, you know, the change has to start with the Power Five. I mean, to me, Bill, it's just, you look at it, and the thing that I like about college football, one of the things I like about college football, is that there's chaos, right? And that everybody wants to say, oh, well, if you expand, it's going to de-emphasize the regular season and all this. Well, we just made it through the wackiest season in college football history. And here we are. And you know what? Like, you've got these teams who've sacrificed just as much as everybody else. And hey, you're on the outside looking in because, we got a committee together in person, by the way, to decide this. And we didn't like your resume. And I, of course, hear a lot of it from the Penn State side of things because that's my beat. And everybody always points back to 2016. It says, hey, Penn State beat Ohio State. They won the Big Ten, and then they don't go to the playoff. You know, why didn't they get in the playoff? What do they have to do to get to the playoff? And it just, to me, it's just one of those things. I would like to see it expand because I would personally, selfishly like to see more chaos. But yeah, you really feel for a team like in Indiana because they got absolutely no respect at all.
We talked last week a lot about whether or not playing in a bowl game was worth it this year, and certainly we wouldn't begrudge any team that didn't want to do that in the way that Penn State did. But if you were Indiana, Indiana's going to play in the Outback Bowl against Ole Miss, and that can be a fun game. Ole Miss has a fun offense. Mm-hmm. Indiana doesn't have Michael Penix, but they're still a good team. But if on some level, I feel like if I was Indiana, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not participating in your system that doesn't reward us for being 6-1 by putting us in one of the marquee bowl games and giving us an opportunity to show off our program on a major stage. Like, if you don't believe in us, a 6-1
team, we're not
doing this. We're not going to give you your television show in the Outback Bowl. Like, I know why they didn't turn it down, but I'm more petty, I think, than Tom Allen is. I think I would have turned it down.
I like that, Bill. Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, it's kind of, I would take it as a take your system and shove it. Like, we've given up enough this season that we do everything and this is where you're going to stick us. I think that's, and you know what? I'm sure people would take issue with that. Guaranteed they'd take issue with that. And, oh, you know, how dare you disrespect the bowl system and not play a game? You know what? Like, I mean, they got screwed. And so I would say, yeah, I'd be with you and say, you know what? Yeah, we're sitting this one out. Especially when you look at this year and everything that these guys have had to sacrifice, players, coaches, support staffs, just to get on the field. And again, these bowl sites, there's not going to be anything normal about it. So if you're Indiana, I mean, I guess maybe enjoy the weather when you're out practicing, because it'll certainly be nicer there than it is in Bloomington. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, you know, you always hear about bowl games. Oh, you want to build toward next year and momentum. I don't know, Bill. Does momentum even carry from one year to the other? I've always been on the fence about that, you know? Like, I would have been with you in the petty camp for sure.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
No, I don't really think bowl momentum is a real thing. But I also, like, Indiana hasn't played in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. They have a special group there that's a program that I think is on the rise. And if they had the opportunity to get that specific team back together one more time to play a game, you know, and it's the Outback Bowl. It's not like it's a crappy bowl. It's still a good bowl game. And the opportunity to beat an Ole Miss team from the SEC that, like, I think winning that game still gets you some good positive attention. So I get wanting to play. I just wish they didn't get the shaft as much as they did, because it's like Iowa State's ranked ahead of them and going to the Fiesta Bowl, and the rationale from the committee was like, oh, well, they had two ranked wins. Like, that's great. Do the losses not matter? Because they have three losses. Indiana has one, and it's one loss by a touchdown to a team that you think is one of the best four in the country. And for some reason, that doesn't matter. But the fact that Iowa beat two overrated Big 12 teams somehow matters more in your mind. It's Iowa State. It's like, yeah. The rationale makes no sense.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, it seems like you always try to get a pulse on what the committee's thinking, and you always try, you know, in the weeks leading up to the final rankings, figure out, oh, what do they think about this team? What do they think about that team? But there's just so many inconsistencies, and it seems like the criteria is, like, always changing in their minds, you know? And that's whenever you have humans involved, you're going to have error. We know that. And that, to me, is just what's so wacky with the way this thing is like, you know, okay, Indiana, enjoy your game. But it's a shame that your quarterback got hurt, because if you have Michael Penix, I don't think this happens.
But they still won without him. They still beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin team at the time that was ranked by this committee. Like, they still beat them without Michael Penix.
But I think in their mind,
should be more impressive.
Right. But I think in the committee's mind, it's more of a less of a, well, you know, it's not going to last long type of deal, which is just completely wrong. You know, I hate when that kind of thing happens, because Indiana was such a great story. And, you know, I know Penn State people are going to be pissed off because of the 2-point play. And, oh, Indiana should have lost that game. And,
yeah,
you know, we'll, I can't wait to write the oral history of that game in, you know, 15 years, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, really unfortunate spot for the Hoosiers.
So Ohio State's in the playoff. Indiana's in the Outback Bowl. Michigan 2-4 finish is done. Michigan State 2-5 finish is done, and has quite a bit going on with the transfer portal. We won't harp on those two programs. Michigan and Michigan State will be touched on later. Maybe like we preview like offseason stuff a little more. And Rutgers finishes 3-6 and almost gets its fourth win in a nice game against Nebraska last week. Still a really good season, for Greg Schiano as he continues to build there. And then Penn State finishes 4-5, wins its last four games after starting 0-5, not going to a bowl game like we said. But, you know, they put it on Illinois pretty good in their last game. Not that Illinois is particularly good. But to start 0-5 and then finish with four straight wins, I know I said bowl momentum doesn't mean much, so I don't want to overstate what this could mean, but I don't know. It does seem somewhat important to me that James Franklin like didn't lose his team and they won their last four games.
Yeah, it's, you got to give him credit for not quitting, not, you know, mailing this thing in when at 0-5 they certainly could have. You look at opt outs and the fact that they didn't have guys opting out midseason. But yeah, I mean, a 56-21 win against an Illinois team that was just in shambles. Brett Bielema was on the sideline. he drove to town that day after getting hired, and so he was on the sideline. And they made the point on the broadcast that Illinois only had 19 defensive players on scholarship available for this game. I mean, it was a mess. So Penn State was able again, but they did so convincingly. Which we weren't able to say that very often this year. But yeah, I think, Bill, moving forward for Penn State, it's all going to be about the quarterback position. And what do you get with Sean Clifford next year as a senior? And, you know, we saw Pat Freiermuth did officially, per his own announcement, declare Sunday evening for the NFL draft. Not a surprise, but they played down the stretch without the tight end after he was hurt in the Ohio State game and then played through the injury against Rutgers. So you're already losing him. You already lost Parsons before the season started. So I guess the one good thing that came throughout all these growing pains for Penn State was that you were able to get these younger players who were going to be really important in 2021 into games. They were playing significant roles. I really like what they have at tight end moving forward with Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson. I think those are going to be two people for other teams to keep an eye on in the Big Ten, because these guys have looked impressive. now I think it's very important to wait on potentially an NFL decision from Jahan Dotson. He really came on this year, undisputed number one wide receiver for Penn State, which wasn't something we were so sure about in the offseason. I mean, we knew he was the only guy there, but how would he step into that role? I mean, Bill, he had touchdowns of 70, 75 yards, both in this past game, the week before he returned a punt, 81 yards for a touchdown. I mean, he's doing it all right now and certainly helped himself. And again, we saw it against Ohio State too. So one of the big things with Penn State down the stretch was the caliber of opponent, but you see Dotson had that big game against the Buckeyes. So I do wonder what the decision is going to be for him if Saturday was maybe his last game, because that's going to be huge for 2021.
Yeah, I think Penn State, like of all the teams that are sort of entering offseason mode now, I think Penn State is certainly one of the more interesting to Big Ten and probably in the country as well. So that'll be interesting to follow moving forward. But like we said, more pressing issues at hand. Ohio State's in the playoff. Indiana is in a bowl game. Five Big Ten teams in total playing in the postseason this year. We'll be back next week to talk some more about that. Keep it tuned in to the Big Football Show. Audrey and I will talk to you guys next week.